Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are right here among us. Thank you that you plant the word in us, that you show us what is truly significant and essential, that you lead us into the deepest depths, and that the word cuts through like a double-edged sword, that it is powerful, and that everything that comes from you manifests itself with great power, and whatever is from me and not so important is cast aside and remains far from us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The specific topic I want to discuss with you today is titled, The Power of Your Words, specifically part 4, which is called Speak Life. And it seems that somehow things have significantly shifted in a new direction. So I'm not on page 1 now, but on page 4. And I'm doing it this way because I have the impression that this verse doesn't belong at the end, but right now. I only really noticed this a few days ago. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 29 says, "Is not my word exactly like a burning fire, declares the Lord? And is it not like a heavy hammer that breaks the hardest of rocks into many tiny pieces?" Martin Luther also says, "Is not my holy word like a fire, declares the Lord? And like a powerful hammer that smashes the solid rock into fragments? This is the powerful word of the Lord." You know, I truly believe that the word of God is supposed to be just like a fire for you and for me. A fire maybe like a powerful fire tornado, and the fire that purifies, the fire that ignites, the fire is full of energy, the fire that draws everything around it into its spell. But the fire is also supposed to be like a steamroller. The word of God is sometimes like a steamroller. It rolls over everything. It burns away everything that doesn't belong there, weeds and all. And the fire is strong. The fire of God is strong. The word of God is like a blazing fire and like a heavy hammer that shatters the hardest rocks, like a powerful hammer, like a massive wrecking ball, or even like a relentless jackhammer. You know, on Saturday, I was spending the entire day with my brothers-in-law at my father-in-law's place. He has, I think, about 70 meters or so, a solid iron fence, and the whole idea was to install it as quickly and efficiently as we possibly could with heavy-duty posts that have to be set 70 centimeters deep in thick concrete, and the holes are right by the street where all the asphalt and debris and leftover junk from the road is. And you know the rotary hammer? There was one rotary hammer for us. There are a few brothers-in-law because my wife has 8 siblings. So there was a whole work crew, different work teams. The pallet with the materials was there. And who got the rotary hammer? They said, "Mia, you're the biggest. And with all your sports, you should give it a go." That thing weighs 30 kilos. So now I just have blisters here. Some of them still pop open and bleed. But if you handle it right, it works. But this jackhammer, 30 kilos, I don't know how many thousand watts, it just goes at it. You hold it against a concrete block or a rock face, and you have to go down there because it's a 70 centimeter deep little hole where the concrete goes in. And sometimes you have to hold it there for 5 minutes. The front is so thick, the thing is so long, and you really feel it. But at some point, the penetration from that thing is so strong, it just shatters. Some stone gives way. The stone always lost. With all 70 meters, the stone lost. And I'm telling you right now, the word of God is just like a powerful hammer, like a heavy hammer. Sometimes this hammer is like one of those massive wrecking balls, a huge tall tower, and then that wrecking ball comes swinging in, bam, and the entire tower is knocked down. Sometimes this hammer is necessary, like my power drill hammer. We have to go at it again. That's how it is with us. Sometimes we really need to let the word of God work on us once again so that those old things fall away, go away, so that all the pain leaves and all the bitterness leaves. The word of God is truly my word, and it is my life. Is it not like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that shatters rocks? You know, my intro, well, my real intro, that was it. Is that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. We became children of God because, according to Romans 10:9, We believed in our hearts and confessed with our mouths that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Believed with the heart, confessed with the mouth. That is the great confession. Jesus is called the high priest of our confession. So confessing and speaking for us is not some kind of spiritual formula like an Aga Kaba or anything like that. Instead, we speak. We have entered in through the confession with our mouths. It's so important what you say. You and I, we have so much power. We're children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. What you say has consequences. It has consequences, whether you want it or not. What you say has consequences. And it's not just about what you say, but how you say it. What kind of power is behind it, and at what moment? Let's take a closer look at all of this. I'll start today by looking at James 3. This is something that I have not yet covered in any of the previous three sessions, but today I really want to bring it up to our attention. James 3. I think Luther actually didn't even want to include James. He didn't really like it that much. But I personally think this part is really great. Dear brothers, I'll start with James 3, verse 1. My dear brothers and sisters, not all of you should become teachers, for you are well aware that we will receive a more rigorous judgment, because we all stumble and fall in many ways. But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to keep his whole body in check. Wow. When we put a bit into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can guide their whole body. Look at the ships as well. Even though they are so large, and back then they really weren't that big compared to today's tankers, even though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, that's where it goes. Wherever the one steering it wants. In the same way, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. See how a small spark can set a whole forest on fire? You know, the power of the tongue and what we choose to say carries very serious consequences. And you are not simply a victim of your upbringing, your education, or your schooling. Of course, all of that plays a significant role in shaping who we are. But you also can't just keep continuously lashing out at others with your words and then say, "That's just how I am. I'm just a naturally blunt and harsh person." And then say, "That's just the way I am." That's not who we are. Instead, we let our speech be renewed by spending time in God's presence and in His Word, so that it becomes merciful, so that our words carry a vibration, a sound, anointing, and power that sets people free. Not words that wound, but words that liberate. If you look closely at the text right here, it says that there is a specific individual who's responsible for determining the overall direction of the vessel, and that person is known as the captain. And I say, you are not just a tongue or a head or a mind, which then ultimately becomes emotion, which then leads to something coming out. That's what happens. That's how it is. But you are a spirit from God, a king. We've heard it. A powerful king, a divine spirit sent from God. And you get to decide exactly what is spoken. You can even, with your mind and your tongue, when things are completely contrary, when you feel like crying, "I rejoice in Jesus." And then the soul says, "That's not possible." And then you say, "I rejoice in Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am not just having my pity party for myself right now, but I am simply declaring what He says. And He, the joy of the Lord, is my strength." Because you are the one standing here. He directs it. Wherever it goes there. What you speak gives direction to your life. There is almost no such thing as neutral speech. Either it lines up with the word, and then things go in a really good direction and get better and better, or it doesn't line up with the word, and it's based on circumstances and your feelings, and then things go backwards. And sometimes we're where we are now because before we simply spoke in the wrong direction. So I really want to encourage you today, get used to constantly speaking what He says, rather than just what your temporary feelings might tell you in the heat of the moment. Most of the time, when your feelings flare up, just don't say anything. Breathe, say nothing. Holy Spirit, now I'm reconnecting with you. And then he says, you can just stay calm. Stay calm. Just say nothing for a little while. Then you can laugh, you'll loosen up again, and then he'll give you something really good to say. It's better than getting swept up in your emotions and lashing out for yourself and for the people around you with that kind of attitude. 2 weeks ago, I was on a business trip, and in the evening, my colleague gave me a ride. He has one of those flat rate driving vans. I had no idea that existed, like at the gym. But he can just present his membership card at any lake or coast and get a truly impressive and powerful boat with 200 horsepower, flat rate, and that is an incredibly fantastic benefit. 200 horsepower engine. So I just had to get on that thing, grab the wheel, and really go for it. And so we went out on the water. I have to say, that was honestly a highlight. There's a display and everything, and a lever like that. And then with the wheel and a tight turn, and suddenly the depth gauge shows there's barely any water, you have to help me. He takes over, quickly lifts the thing in the back, and now we're slowly chugging out of this shallow spot. And then he's like, okay, you can sit down again. And that's when you truly witness the incredible power, what it's like when the rudder is functioning perfectly. Let me tell you the opposite. About 2 years ago, this is a truly awful story, but I always knew the day would come when I could use it in a sermon. I knew it would come. May it serve to edify you. Attention, my brother-in-law had a boating license. Well, in America, you don't need one, but my brother-in-law has a boating license. We were in Tuscany, and there's this island there. About 10 years ago, a captain crashed a ship into the island because he wanted to impress someone. And as a result, 20 people died. We were at that island. We wanted to go over there too, so we rented a boat. They said it had the most beautiful beaches. We sped over there, an hour at full speed with this boat, maybe 100 horsepower, so it really had some power. My 5 kids, his 3 kids, well, 2 at the time, and our wives, we all enjoyed it together. It was great. Somewhere while turning in or out at the beach, something must have happened. So we were heading back. We still had an hour ahead of us, set off again, had to go about 100 meters in the water. The engine was running, but the steering didn't work anymore. The rudder just stopped working. Then another boat comes chugging over, and the guy asks us, hey, do you want caipirinhas and drinks? And he wanted to sell us some refreshing drinks because the massive luxury yachts were docked there, and they earned their living by selling drinks. He says, we're in a hurry. All the kids are here with their life vest. We have an hour's journey ahead of us, and a rudder doesn't work anymore. And as Italians do, he says, no problem. We'll just tape something around it, like a spare rod, and then you just have to lift it like this. I can't lift that. This thing is going up and down the waves at high speed, and I'm supposed to lift the whole block with 100 horsepower. There's no way that's going to work with just a bit of tape around it. I trust myself with a lot of things. Then they said, okay, we'll tow you. So they towed us, and we went back by ferry. That evening, we went to the Italian boat rental place. That was a different story. I'll explain that to you another time. But at that moment, I realized a boat without a rudder, one that doesn't work or is dysfunctional, even if the engine and everything else is great, that's terrible. 8. Be mindful with everything you have, with what you say, because this sets the direction for your life and also for everything around you. Proverbs 18:21. So if you use Proverbs as a daily devotional, which I can really recommend, then that would be for the 18th. That's the one for that day. Proverbs 18. Yeah, it works really well because Proverbs has exactly enough chapters for 1 month. So I'm not against daily devotionals from Koblenz, from Hagen, from Derek Prince. I love it. We have all of those at home too, but I just love Proverbs. And Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Speaking produces fruit. You will be completely satisfied by what your lips bring forth. And this is exactly why I encourage you. Declare it. Speak the word of God, and speak what you don't see as if it already is. Call it forth. Speak the good things. You don't have to do it all. Whenever there's a team around you that doesn't join in, you can still bring out the positive. You can just bring out the good. We will get it done. You will successfully manage it. We will attain the goal together. Speak and declare as a king. You have power with your words, because on you and on your tongue, and because you are a child of the king, there is power. And of course, there's much more power when you declare the word of God. I am provided for, I am healed, and speak these things, even when there isn't a particular need at the moment. Make it a habit to speak. If you have a few minutes to drive in a car, always speak. Start by saying thank you with gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. Then your brain says, you've said that 100 times. Then you notice something's there. If your brain resists, you say, fine, we'll stay here. Thanks for saving me. I have been rescued from the domain of darkness. Ah, Jesus, I am with you. Now I no longer live. Christ truly lives in me. Speak it, say it, and declare it as well. Really say it. It has a huge impact on you personally, but also on the invisible world. It has a tremendously significant impact. Try not to speak what your mood is telling you right now. It goes up and down. You don't even need to say that. You express your current mood. You're going to get in line. The time for complaining is finally over. And then you switch into the mode where you speak the things of God. You speak His word. You speak His word. It says in Proverbs 15, so on the 15th. Right toward the very end of the month, you'll come across this beautiful and specific verse. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Just as you mentioned earlier, it really and truly is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. There's power, there's life, there's strength, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So it's in cans. It goes really deep, really, really deep. When someone stabs with their tongue, when a harsh word comes out, it cuts deep. Many married couples often feel that too, especially with people who are very close to their hearts. When someone is anointed and then a sharp or harsh word comes out, every once in a while. It happens to me sometimes too, and then you really notice the power behind it. Or when you receive a harsh word, it cuts deep. It's strong. There's power behind it. That's why we have to make sure we don't get wounded and that we don't wound others. Sometimes it's actually better to say nothing at all. But I also really want to encourage you, please use it. It's just so incredibly good. I started doing this quite a while ago. Use your phone right now to send a really positive voice message. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is it? And then pick a friend or someone you have a relationship with and say, hey, I was thinking about you. And then say something good to them if they're a believer. God is with you. He is so for you. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, sometimes it'll fit perfectly, like a glove. You just have to dare to do it. And if it doesn't fit exactly, maybe it's just something encouraging, and then it fits later. And at some point, you'll get a message back. And if you send out one or two every day, you'll be sowing seeds. It's like a powerful grenade going off in there, completely blowing everything away. It blows away things that might be in your acquaintance or your friend. Try to say something good to them and share something encouraging with them. Speak the names. I wrote them down. Chapter, speak the names. And right now, I'm not talking about the names of the Father. Those are amazing too. I actually had that at one point here as well. Speak the names of Jesus. That's how I had it during my preparation. There's a verse that goes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are perfectly secure there. There's even a well-known song for children about it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. You know, when we speak the names of Jesus, a lot changes. I'll start now, but I'll stop myself. Otherwise, I'll get lost in it. For example, if you're sitting in your car and something is weighing on your heart and you don't know what to do anymore and you don't feel any gratitude or anything else, then speak the names of Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are the King. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. Jesus, you are my Redeemer. Jesus, you are the Son of Man. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Jesus, you are the Word of God. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. I lift you up. Jesus, every knee will bow before you. Jesus, you are the wonderful Counselor. Jesus, you are the everlasting Father. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Jesus, you are the Savior. Jesus, you are the Redeemer. Jesus, healing comes through you. You are the healer. And when you do that, when you speak the names, something exact happens. The name, you go into that fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty fortress. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. And it does something to your soul. But of course, it also honors Jesus when you lift up his name and say, "Hey, Jesus, your name is higher than all names. Your name is higher than all powers and authorities. Your position is higher than everything in the visible and invisible realms." You completely turn away from whatever mood might be heavily weighing on your heart right now, from your emotional state, and you turn to him and you honestly speak it out. That has a powerful effect, even if it comes out twice. Doesn't matter. Sometimes you have to say it 10 times, and on the 10th time it goes bam, and you realize, oh yeah, you are my Savior. Ah, Jesus, please go ahead and do that right now. Speak the names of Jesus Christ. Speak the names. Speak at the right time. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, if you were reading Proverbs as your daily journal on the 25th, you would come across this if you had Proverbs as your daily devotional. A little bit of advertising here. Golden apples and silver bowls. That's what a word spoken at the right time is like. Golden apples and silver bowls. That's what a word spoken at the right time is like. You speak at the right time. You speak at the right time. There are definitely certain situations in life where we shouldn't just sit there and say, "Oh, well, that's too much." Because sometimes something is being said about you or about a specific situation where you shouldn't just let it slide or ignore it. Instead, it would be much more appropriate for us to speak up and say something if the opportunity presents itself. Like, "No, that's not actually how it is. That actually happened to me earlier today. Someone said to me, 'Well, you're 47 now, but I'm actually only 43. And then you can really see, you know, you can really tell the difference it makes when you speak up. What do you notice? You don't really notice it right away. Stand up to it directly, directly, directly. Or someone comes along and says, "This diagnosis, and it's only going to get worse, and things will just keep getting worse, and you'll have to deal with this for the rest of your life, right?" And then it might happen that confrontation takes place. Sometimes maybe the Holy Spirit tells you that you don't need to provoke anything right now, so just do it under your breath. "Not for me. I refuse it." No, then you just do it under your breath, and, you know, that's at the right time. It'd be too late if you did it half a day later. I'm not accepting that. That's too late. Some things just need to be set straight at the right time, because otherwise they don't count. I say, it's a funny story, but it shows it again. We booked a lovely extended stay vacation cottage located right in the heart of England. My wife thought, "England, we have to do that at least once. I was often in England for business, so okay, let's do London, let's do a bit of hiking up front, and so on. It'll definitely be cool. Come on, let's do it." Then she booked it. Then she told all sorts of people that we were going to England months in advance. England. You have to take an umbrella with you. Honestly, I have to say, I would have told the person on the phone that she was right. I always take an umbrella on all my trips to England. I have this little leather bag where I keep my laptop, a book, or something, and I always pack a small umbrella in there, because you always need one in England. Always, always. My wife, on the other hand, says, "Absolutely not." She says, "It'll be great in England. Wherever we are, there'll be sunshine." So I said, "Okay, I'm in. I'm in on that." So we were in England. It was that week, the last week of May, during the Pentecost holiday. It was the hottest time since records began. Since records began. In fact, the average high temperature in the last week of May is 32, and normally, if there's a record broken, it's just 0.2 or 0.3 degrees higher. But this was 2.5 degrees higher than the highest recorded temperature. And for a whole week, we were at the beach and did things you normally never do in England. It's just a little thing, but when you're suddenly faced and confronted with a diagnosis, with some image, a CT scan, or some other kind of medical imaging, and they try to provide supporting evidence for it, immediately take your stand. Take your stand and maintain that position firmly. Not in business. There's a big country in Europe, ours, where things weren't going so well for us in business. Because the car manufacturers made a few mistakes, and that brought one of our business figures down. I was responsible for everything around Germany, and we had meetings, on average, every 5 months. So, real management meetings, on average, every 5 months. And every month, once a month, the most powerful person in that group would turn their tannin on me. That's gonna get bad, too. It's gonna get bad in Europe. That's still manageable. You have to let people be. The cannon was aimed at me. It's a small circle. We trust each other. We get along well, too. But for 5 months, there was pressure and yelling directed at me. Every time I said, "Nah, that's not it. It's going to be great in Europe. We're getting top results. The numbers are going up." 5 months of stress, and so loud that afterwards, two or three people would call me and ask, "What happened there again?" People who weren't even in a meeting called me because they heard about it from others. "What happened there again?" I also sorted it out with that person. I mean, with the most powerful one in the room. "Everything's fine. Am I too difficult for you? Or I just wanted to do it differently, right?" "I bid. We can handle each other like this." But let me tell you, what came out of it in the end? More than what I predicted. Europe grew at a time when Germany, I don't know, dropped by significant percentages. We grew by 28%. What I'm trying to say is, whether it's business, the weather, a doctor's prognosis, or any other dumb saying like "it gets worse with age," right? Refuse it. Stop. No. And that's not how it is. That's not how it is. We take our stand, and taking a stand also means doing it at the right time. Not a day later, not an hour later, but at the right time, right? That's not how it is. It's different. It's different. I also want to say time is moving on, so I'm going to speed things up a bit now. Think, speak, believe, have. Think, speak, believe, have. Dedicate your words to him, the king. The enemy knows about the power of words. He attempts to succeed with tricks and clever strategies. He is unable to change the power that's on your words. What he can do is, he can provoke you through tricky circumstances and push you to say something negative, and then it spirals from there. That's what he can do. But if we don't play along, if we stay cool and say, "Okay, let's just sit down for a moment. Holy Spirit, what should I do?" And then he says, "Don't do anything. Don't say anything right now. Be quiet or focus on this or say that." Then he can't do anything to us at all. That's what he can do. He can trick you. I once heard an example like this. There are people pulling on a rope and it's balanced. There are several of them. And then one of them says to his team, "On three, we'll all take a step forward," and then the others fall over. And that's how he can trick us. He can only trick us. He has no power over you. He is defeated. He is defeated. Jesus has defeated him, and Jesus is inside you. But your own voice can maneuver you into a corner. And this is precisely the reason why faith comes from hearing the message being preached. So your own voice significantly influences your faith. But the same is true for the sermon. So if we stay away from the sermon, that affects our faith. If you don't preach to yourself, if you don't listen to the sermon, that's really bad. If you don't preach to yourself, that's also really bad at. Because faith comes from hearing, from you hearing the sermon. And when you preach to yourself, you preach the word of God, and it goes into your ears, it goes into your soul, and you stand on it, and then you think about it, and then you speak more about it, then your heart fills up, then you talk about it even more, and then you walk in it, and then things become stable, and then things start to change. Without preaching, faith goes down. Without speaking, without confessing, faith goes down, and you start following your thoughts, which are all over the place, sometimes like this, and sometimes like that. We need to talk. We need to talk. We need to listen to the sermon, and you need to speak to yourself. Listen. Because that's how the word should be. Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall the word that goes out from my mouth be. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word does not return empty. When you send out the word, it does not come back empty. It comes back. It returns to you, and it strengthens your faith. By your wounds, I have received complete healing. He healed them all. He healed every sickness and every disease. When you speak the word, it builds faith. Sometimes it's boom, and it's just like a hammer. Boom. And sometimes it's tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. But the pain is still there, and healed them all. Boom, and then it's broken. Yes, here I am. And then the circumstances turn around, because everything passes away, but the word of God endures. It remains. Everything passes away, but the word of God remains. So now I have two short, slightly more difficult topics. Sometimes our words in our confession are put to the test. Sometimes our words in our confession are put to the test. And I just want to tell you, hold on. We hold on. You do not waver. That's Hebrews 10, verse 23. He is the high priest of our confession. And we hold on. We do not waver. They're facts, diagnoses, statements, numbers, dashboards, images, other evidence. All of that may be true. We don't have to deny that either. But we hold on anyway. And then he stands by your side, even if it doesn't feel like it at first. Don't make the mistake of letting your feelings speak. Instead, it's better to say nothing at all or speak in tongues. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. He builds us up in those moments. He encourages us. He also takes away sadness. And then he reignites a fire. I've shared this here before, but I'll tell it again because it's so good for me personally. I'm really preaching to myself. Back then, our gynecologist, when we were pregnant with our Carlo, left us a message saying that the child would be severely disabled and that it was the blood-based trisomy XY. And he recommended, he said on the recording, that we do the major test with the needle. That procedure can cause the child to be lost. And if not, we should consider termination, and so on. Because the child is already a given. And then he hung up and left the practice. Just 2 minutes later, I called him, wanted to know what was going on, but he was no longer at the practice. He saved that for the very last thing. That was definitely a test, a trial. If you believe back then that God is good, we had already seen many miracles, and the two of us said, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine, and the child will be healthy. But of course, your words are put to the test. They come under pressure. They'll be put under pressure. You will find yourself in a high-pressure situation, physically or something, just a statement like that. And then, of course, it's a weird feeling when you go for the detailed ultrasound to check what's really going on. But still, to say everything will be fine, no matter what he said, no matter what he tells you after the blood results, what happened to me? Carlo's a fit guy. He's smart. He's at school, he just breezes through, barely has to do anything. Really, everything is fine. I don't know. Maybe God just turned things around at that moment when we said everything would be fine. We'll find out at some point later. But you will be confronted with things, and I encourage you, hold on to your confession. Hold on steadfastly. And remember, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He passed through the very heavens and brought his eternal blood for you and for me. He is the one who stands behind your confession. When you speak the word, you are speaking Jesus. Hold on. No matter what you're confronted with, confront the situation with the word. But the word says that I am healed. But the word says that he takes care of me. But the word says that he cares for the sparrows and for me so much more. Stand firm on that. Stand firm on that. I encourage you to do so because our troubles are temporary and fleeting. There is an expiration date. Even if you might be going through something tough, sometimes that happens. It's not from God, but sometimes there are just things we have to go through. It's temporary. It has an expiration date. It's limited. You can say, yes, it's limiting. It's limited. Yay! The big things are eternal. And what I see is temporary, is limited, and it's light. And the soul says, oh, it's not light. It's light. Oh, it's not light. This light. Tell me that. Okay? Then I ask myself, man, now you talk so much about Proverbs, promoted Proverbs, and gotten so much out of Proverbs. Jesus, what do you actually say about all this talking? Then someone pulled out a verse. Jesus says quite a bit about speaking. In Matthew 12:34, he says, forgive me. I'm going to use Luther's German now because I love it so much. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of what fills the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you feel in your heart? What do you allow into your heart? What is the last thing in the day that you let into your innermost being? So into the innermost part of your soul, the heart. What is the last thing? Is it a verse? Is it something you just scroll through? News? Or is it a spiritual book? Or is it something where you say, God, I am thankful to you. For that, do you have a gratitude journal? These are just a few ideas. But allow yourself to invite deep into your heart everything that is truly good and what can grow and flourish beautifully in there. Because when the heavy pressure comes, not if, but when that pressure inevitably comes, exactly what you have stored deep inside will be what comes out. And even when there's no pressure, what you're filled with will also come out. If you're filled with nonsense, then you'll talk about nonsense. If you're filled with the Word of God, then things from the Word of God will come out. And people will notice that. They will feel it. People can sense it. Jesus says it. Whatever fills the heart, the mouth speaks. On the 23rd, if you were to read Proverbs, you would. Would you read on the 23rd, day of the month, in verse 7? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, you won't read it like that in the Luther translation. There, it's about something else, about food. Yeah, he didn't translate it that well. In the King James, you read it that way. Many good translations do. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let your heart be shaped by him. Let your heart be shaped by the Word of God, because then that's what will come out. Also, in the way you speak, if you notice that your speech is bitter, then let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit work in your heart, and then something completely different will come out of your mouth. You know, if you just say for a while, I am filled with God. I am the love of God. The love of God has been poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. I am patient and kind. I am patient and kind. I do not speak harshly. I cover up evil. When you meditate on that, when you say it, there will be a different wave on top of what you say. Even if you're explaining a business matter, but your heart is full of the love of God, or with the things we've just talked about, something will happen. You're explaining a business context or some technical, but there will be some merciful and joyful about it. People say, I just love being in that meeting. You do it so well. Of course, they don't know what it is. It is the anointing. It is the Word. It is a coloring. And it is a sacred oil. There is a divine power on it. And that is what we need much more of. It is so strong, your words. They truly break bones. You can go into a meeting and you come from this place of presence and from speaking the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it's about something or other. And then you just say a word. And then something breaks loose. Something leaves. A burden just falls off someone without it even being a spiritual sin. It's simply because there's something on your words. Power, there's strength. And that's why I want to encourage you. And if I have to do another session, let me encourage you. Speak the Word of God. Declare it. Get in your car. Say, DLF, you do good news, but now I'm not listening to the news anymore. No more DLF. I like listening to DLF, but turn it off. Now, I'm just going to speak the word of God. And if you don't know what to say, just pick two or three of your favorite verses, maybe add two or three more and keep them in your car. Then you speak them, declare them over your family. Things will go well with your son. Things will go well with your daughter. She'll find a good partner. I'll start declaring. Things will go exceptionally well with my land account, and my business numbers will be truly great. My mood is constantly improving, and I have more time than ever before. You just declare it, and in the unseen realm, things fall into place and come into their rightful position because you are declaring these things as a king. And if you're in a bad mood or facing something difficult, you just say the name of Jesus. Jesus, you lift up the name. You lift up the name of Jesus, and then you'll see. The name is so powerful. He himself is so powerful. He himself is so powerful, it'll set you free. Jesus is the word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from him, torrents of living water. When you start, you already believe in him. Then you say it. And if you remain in my word, which you do by confessing Jesus, by confessing his word, if you remain in my word, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And whoever the Son sets free is truly free. And then you get into this mode and say, yes, Jesus, I am free. You have set me free. And you will see this state of mind will go away. The whining and complaining will go away. I'll let the enemy tempt you into it to confess your whining and complaining. Even if you sometimes feel like things aren't really moving forward right now, then declare that things are absolutely moving forward. Then declare, things are moving forward for me. We're moving ahead. I'm picking up speed. Holy Spirit, you're with me on this journey. Things are getting better and better for me. We're making progress. We're going upward from strength to strength. And if you ever feel like what you're doing is already too much, if you feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, then you're in the right place. Then you're in the right place. Yeah, because this isn't happening out in the marketplace. This isn't where you go around saying, I'm a big deal. This is for you in your quiet room or in the car or somewhere while you're out walking, alone, where no one else is. And heaven is fully focused on that. Heaven is fully focused there because it's fully behind the waiting area. Amen. 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 So, you know what? I'll finish by simply blessing you and activating this in you. That you love the Proverbs as much as I do. And that you simply start to declare and to speak. Father, I thank you for these world changers, both men and women. I thank you that you have placed a hunger in us to simply speak what you say about us, to declare, to bring forth, to speak the invisible. Thank you, Father, that your word is powerful, that it is strong, that it is like a fire, and that it is like a hammer. And thank you that you teach us more and more in this, Holy Spirit, and lead us into it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Very, very good. Praise the Lord. Yes, July has 31 days. What do you say today? Proverbs has 31 chapters. So take your chance. Praise the Lord. So good. Amen. Really, this is so basic. Our words are so basic. That's exactly right. Just like Michael said, our tongue is the rudder that steers our life in a certain direction. That's why it's so important. The temptation is always to say what you see, to say what is happening right now. Don't say what you see right now or what things look like at the moment. Instead, speak what God has said, what God wants, and what you know God actually desires. And sometimes you really have to go against what you see at the moment. And remember, that's also a really good illustration. Sometimes you just have to stick with it for a bit. That's how it is. We live in a society where we always expect everything to be instant, where we say, okay, I say one sentence and suddenly the whole world is at my feet and everything has changed and the sky is full of violins or something like that. But sometimes you just have to stick with it. Stick with it, and put in some effort. And then maybe you'll get a few blisters along the way from holding on. But you just keep holding on because you know the word has the power. Amen. And the word can break through even the hardest stone. Amen. That's how it is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good. Hallelujah. For all Glory Live students, I really want to encourage you. For next week, bring everyone, not just you, of course. Also, bring all the sick and people who need a miracle, especially. And you Glory Live students, if you're coming from farther away, make sure to be there. Because next week, we're going to activate God's healing power based on the word. Over the past few weeks, I've already spent a few hours. I don't even know exactly how many. I think 3. Talking about faith and healing, the word of God and healing. And even there, we've already reached a certain level that we're standing on. And next week, we want to put that into practice and activate it. So if you need a miracle, or if you're maybe watching via live stream and need healing, make sure to join us next week. But even if you just want to be activated, that's really the key. If you want to be activated to see miracles, to see healing, it's important that it also becomes practical. And that's why next week we want to activate it. So everyone be there. It's going to be really powerful. Praise the Lord. And for everyone in Hamburg, here's another announcement. On Sunday, our flight leaves right after the service here. We'll be here Sunday morning for the service. Still serving here in the service, but then we'll come to you. It's going to be awesome. We'll be with you at 6 p.m., and it's going to be powerful because God has something planned for Hamburg. I heard Sunday is supposed to be the hottest day ever in Hamburg, 40 degrees. So we've got great air conditioning at the Leonardo Hotel. It's going to be really good. So you don't want to be anywhere else but at the Leonardo Hotel on Sunday because there it won't be 40 degrees, maybe just 25. So it's going to be really awesome. Praise the Lord. Beben. Okay, and now let's do this together. Let's sow into the kingdom of God and into the word of God. How many of you love the word of God? What is taught comes to pass. And that's why what you are taught, even here at the Glory Life School, is substance for your life. So take it, really take it, and actually put it into practice. Just take some time during the week after sessions like tonight. Go over it again. Really, don't just let it wash over here. Oh, now I've heard something about kings and priests. And then something about the power of my words. That was really cool. That was really nice. No, bring it back to mind. And it's a great combination, these two sessions, if you noticed. So, for example, you can start by confessing that you are a king and a priest. You speak that over yourself. I go into my workplace as a king. I walk around my neighborhood as a king. And speak powerful words into existence. And then they suddenly manifest and come to pass. And I am in prayer as a royal priest whose prayer accomplishes what it declares. Amen. So you can combine it, speak it, confess it, bring it back to mind throughout the week. Really? Make this your theme. Say, okay, this coming week, that's my theme. I am a king and I am a priest and my words have power and I stick with it. And I take the jackhammer. No, it wasn't a jackhammer. It was a... what do you call it? A hammer drill or what? Hammer drill. Exactly. I use that as an example. And that's what you practice, at least until next week, but also beyond that. And then next week, Wednesday is the 1st. July, that's when we start with Proverbs 1. So where are you at? Okay, and now let's go together, as I already mentioned. So as always, you have the opportunity to give your tithe here on site. We'll pass the bucket around, or you can fill out a pledge form that's under your chair. You put one half in, take the other half home, and transfer the money later. Or if you're watching via live stream, we've shown you the info, PayPal, bank transfer, or credit card. Okay, pass it around. And while we're passing it around, there's another cool testimony. At least I think it's a cool testimony. So how many of you remember that I once had the impression during a service to pray for a sick horse? Who still remembers? Okay, it's been a while, a bit longer ago. But here comes a testimony now. George once prayed for a sick horse during a service. And 2 older ladies heard about it, right? I prayed for a specific horse, but 2 older ladies heard about it, and they took that prayer and prayed for their own seriously ill horse. So it was a different horse, and as a result, it got well. Since then, one of the women regularly watches the Glory Live live stream service. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Just look at what can happen through the healing of a horse. And on Sunday, which was, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, she had her birthday. She actually turned 83 years old. And her biggest wish that day was to go to the Glory Life Center for the first time. Normally, that's not possible because her husband suffers from dementia. She thoroughly enjoyed her time at the Sarah, and she told me such. She said she had never experienced such warmth and loving community anywhere, even though she has been a believer for many years. Now she's reading George's book, Journey into Glory, and she can't put it down. How wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray that she reaches her full lifespan, fulfills her divine calling, and that her husband continues to experience more and more healing. Amen. Some things actually start with a single horse. Hallelujah.